Jesus' closest followers from Galilee are gathered together in a house. They aren't highly educated. They probably couldn't read or write. And yet God's Spirit swoops in like a rushing wind, and suddenly these lowly fishermen are speaking the great ancient languages. In Arabic, Greek, Latin, Chinese, they proclaim God's deeds of power. The foreigners who have journeyed to Jerusalem, they're passing by, and suddenly they hear their native language. They rush to the house. How could it be that I'm so far from home and these locals are speaking my language? This scene foreshadows what will happen as the book of Acts progresses. Soon, these disciples will split up, and they will go their separate ways to visit cities in Asia and Greece and Italy and Libya and Egypt to tell every person they meet about God's Son, Jesus the Christ, who lived and died and rose so that their lives would be forever changed. These men had probably never been more than 30 miles from home. And now they're going to cross oceans and go to foreign lands and meet with people who don't even speak their language to tell them about Jesus. That had to be pretty terrifying. And yet they did it. It seems that the Holy Spirit not only gave them the courage to boldly go and do this remarkable thing, but gifted them with just the right words to say. We Presbyterians either love the Holy Spirit or we're terrified by it. For some of you, the Holy Spirit has all kinds of negative associations. Maybe you think of snake charmers, or people who are speaking in tongues and babbling incoherently. Maybe you envision the millionaire TV pastor who shows up on the screen preying on vulnerable daytime viewers, commanding them to feel the Spirit's lead and call the toll-free number, giving your credit card an expiration date and the little security code on the back so that you can experience real healing. Some of you are more neutral on the Holy Spirit. You prefer God, the Creator, or Jesus, the healer and the teacher. The Spirit's a little too abstract, a little too mysterious. But others of you are quite fond of the Spirit of God. You've spoken about how it's a guiding force in your life. The Spirit is that gentle nudge that you feel to call the friend who's going through a painful divorce. The Spirit urges you to go and bring brownies to the family down the street that everyone else is gossiping about. The Spirit will stop you in your tracks and tell you to pray for someone in need without a moment's warning. I like the way the Presbyterian Brief Statement of Faith describes the Holy Spirit. It's like it's the flame that ignites within us to go out into the world and share the news. It says, in a broken and fearful world, the Spirit gives us courage to pray without ceasing, to witness among all people to Christ as Lord and Savior, to unmask idolatries in church and culture, to hear the voices of people long silenced, and to work with others for justice, freedom, and peace. The Spirit gives us courage, the courage to have the hard conversation, The courage to speak out when we see someone being treated unfairly. The courage to go into hospice centers and jail cells and tense boardrooms and speak a word of hope. In reading this Acts passage, it struck me that the Holy Spirit doesn't move through the city of Jerusalem giving everyone the ability to speak Aramaic, just like Jesus and his disciples did. It's the opposite. The Spirit moves through the disciples, giving them the ability to speak in all of these new languages so that they can go out and speak a new and inspiring word to those who are very different from them. It seems like we have a hard time talking to people who are very different from us. Some folks have deleted their social media accounts entirely because they feel like the exchanges taking place are so divisive. People type horrible, hurtful things that they probably wouldn't say if they were looking at the person face to face. Others just simply hide those who they don't agree with so that their news feed is flooded with people who say all the things that they agree with. I have friends who are avoiding family get-togethers out of fear that the conversation will turn to politics and tempers will flare. Parents hear about a Netflix series which is conveying the harsh realities of drugs and bullying and sexual assault. But the danger of this TV series, as one child psychologist says, is that it glorifies teen suicide by making it look like a revenge game. Older children are watching this series and they have questions about it. And we adults, we have no idea how to start the conversation. One pastor says that she thinks our modern world needs the story of Pentecost now more than ever. She says, I think this passage is about learning to speak in ways that are relevant to the people around us. With the help of the Holy Spirit, we Christians are called to be the great translators who are always finding new and fresh ways to convey the good news of the gospel in a rapidly changing world. I don't know that God commands us to be relevant, but God does call us to be courageous. And being courageous means that we don't avoid people we disagree with. We don't keep silent about topics just because they make us uncomfortable. We don't settle for shallow small talk just so we can avoid any potential conflict. Courage means that we're willing to have hard conversations in a kind and loving way. You may have heard the story of two congressmen from Texas, Will Hurd and Beto O'Rourke, a Democrat and a Republican. They were trying to get from Texas back to Washington, D.C. in time for a vote, but a snowstorm had caused all the flights to be canceled. So they decided to try an experiment. And they got a rental car and took a road trip. The 1,600 miles from Texas to D.C. Congressman O'Rourke said, at a time when so many people wonder whether our institutions still work, whether members of Congress can still listen to the people they represent, whether a Republican and a Democrat can get along and work together, I thought, let's try the concept. They live streamed their road trip on Facebook. And they took calls from voters, hearing their questions and both giving their responses. At times, the conversation is strained and uncomfortable. But in time, the dialogue got easier. They'd chat about sports and family life, and they got into tougher issues like healthcare reform and how to navigate conflicts going on in the Middle East. Driving across the country forced them to get past incendiary hashtags and talking points so often associated with politicians and go deeper into the philosophical and moral reasons for why they believed what they believed. They realized that maybe the divide between them wasn't as great as they'd initially thought. Reflecting on the road trip, Congressman Hurd said that while he and O'Rourke don't always see eye to eye on policy, their road trip was about being able to disagree without being disagreeable. One viewer was so pleased with this experiment, he thinks that the best way to repair the political divide in our country is to force all of our members of Congress to go on road trips together and stream it live on Facebook until they can come to some consensus. Maybe we all need to take a few more road trips with the people we have a hard time talking to. The story reminds us that we don't have to agree with Uncle John. We just have to have the courage to engage in a civil and compassionate conversation with him about the issues of the day. We don't need a PhD in psychology to ask our children about their struggles. We just have to have the courage to start the awkward conversation and assure them that they can always come to us when they are depressed or overwhelmed or frightened, and we will be there for them. When we see things on social media that trouble us, we can reach out to the person with a phone call or invite them to have a cup of coffee so that we can talk about things face to face. The Spirit of God gave the disciples the ability to speak compelling and compassionate words to their neighbors near and far. The Spirit of God is with us today, nudging us to go outside of our comfort zone and speak compelling and compassionate words to our neighbors near and far. Once one pastor said that when we pray, "Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me," we're praying to have the courage to practice speaking a language that sometimes makes us look and feel foolish. But when that language is overwhelmed by the fire and the wind of the Spirit, it somehow gets translated into new relationships. And we know exactly what it means. When we bravely engage in the hard conversations, the Spirit of God rushes in, enabling us to be the great translators of our day, who can speak to difficult issues with love and compassion and hope. Thanks be to God. Amen.